this is Kenya, and welcome to my Magical Cottagecore Life. Today, we're going to do something fun. We're going to step away from the oven for a while and do some more cottagecore stuff that doesn't have to do with cooking. Today, we're going to talk about embroidery, hand embroidery. And I think one of the easiest ways to introduce this to, you know, our little circle here of friends is to first talk about what kind of stitches you would learn in embroidery, because I would like for you to maybe think about taking it up. So, I also want to point out that it's a great thing to do in a group of friends or to occupy yourself during the winter. Now, if you're down under, and I know, not everybody's in Australia, but I'm still so stoked that my friend from Australia messaged me. It did something for me. But if you're at home and you're, you know, in Australia, you could do this during a sunny day as well, not just a winter day. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up your big book of stuff and turn to the section on hand stitching, because today we're going to talk about embroidery stitches. Let's get started. So let's start with the basic stitch, and that's your running stitch. Your running stitch is probably one of the first things you've learned. If you had an education when you were a young child and you had one of the small frames that they often give primary school students or kindergartners with yarn and an oversized dull plastic needle and burlap, one of the first things you may have learned was the running stitch. Or if not, if you're just starting out sewing, or and you were sewing by yourself, or maybe under the tutelage of a parent or a caregiver or someone else, this may be one of the first stitches you learned as a hand sewer. The running stitch is basically running the needle over and under the fabric, a threaded needle. And you usually use it when you're basting fabric that's holding something together temporarily. It's so simple, and when you're ready to take it out, you just pull it and it comes out as long as it hasn't been knotted into place. And probably the next stitch you want to learn is your straight stitch. Your straight stitch is like your running stitch, but unlike your running stitch, it doesn't always have to be even, and it doesn't always have to be in a line. That's a completely different kind of stitch. Straight stitches are single stitches, and again, they don't have to be even, they can vary in length, and they definitely can be irregular. You can add them for accent marks or whatever it is you want to have going on. So it's a little bit different. Along with the straight stitch is the satin stitch. And the satin stitch is when you put more than one straight stitch together. And usually people do that to fill in a space. You might have seen embroidery where there's leaves and or a flower petal, and there's a bunch of straight stitches put together, and it makes it feel all satiny. And that's when it's called the satin stitch. It fills it together, but the straight stitches are right next to each other to make this continuous kind of texture. Once you get those basic stitches down, now it's time to begin to change directions, a little bit literally here. I mean, it's time to talk about the backstitch. That's the next logical progression, I guess, in your basic stitches. The backstitch is a little bit more secure, and again, this goes to knotting and as far as things not coming apart, but it also gives a particular look to your embroidery. Now, unlike the running stitch that has gaps in between, because it's basically up and down, backward, forward, in and out, the backstitch doesn't allow any spaces in between the stitches in that straight line. It's a continuous row of stitches with no spaces, whereas the running stitch does have spaces. Now, I did indicate earlier that unless you knot the running stitch, it could be pulled out. But in embroidery, you don't want to leave it unknotted. That would be more along the line if you were basting for garment work. But in this particular case, the back stitch is a very secure stitch. Of course, you're going to knot it, but it is also so strong, it's less likely that you would have a situation where it will come apart. And obviously, Fluffy, the destroyer of worlds, my little cat, says hi. The next family of stitches you might want to have in your basic toolkit is to learn how to do the cross stitch. You may have heard of cross stitching as a skill by itself, and in essence it is, but it is part of a greater family of embroidery style stitches. Basically, you're making X's. You are making X's. That's your cross. And it's composed of two little stitches, or larger stitches, but usually they're small. I haven't seen huge crosses in a cross stitch, but there's greater things than I may have dreamed of in this world. But it's a simple set of stitches to learn. Once you get that down, you also want to start exploring, and the next one will be your chain stitch. Chain stitch is when we're getting a little bit fancier, because basically you're making loops and you're sewing inside of the other loop behind. You make a loop, then you make another and you leave it out, and you make another loop that sews into the first loop, then pin it down. This is one of the times that I'm going to let you know that it's best if you start looking up how these stitches look as we go forward, because trying to explain them is going to be difficult. So we're going to try to maybe stick to just describing in general what they are and that they're good to have. Going along this way, another good stitch to learn is the French knot, and that's usually the one that people often notice first when they see someone doing any kind of hand embroidery after the cross stitch. They notice those cute little knots with the embroidery floss, and that's exactly what you're doing. You're bringing your needle through your fabric and wrapping it around the needle. It depends on how big the knot is, how many times you do that. And then you put the needle back into the fabric close to where it came up, and you've got a cute little knot. One of the things you want to remember, you want to keep this as close and tight as possible when you're doing this so that the thread doesn't slide off. That's the first thing. The second thing, remember how many times you wrap that thread, because if you're making a series of these, you want to make sure they're the same size, and that's how you do that. Again, that is called the French knot. Now, once we leave that territory of it's time to get a little bit more complicated, the next stitches are generally ones that you're going to use to make more complicated kind of loops and draw-throughs. Starting at the buttonhole stitch, that's when you start to get a little fancy on how you're doing your needlework. Move from there, you can go from your regular chain stitch to a raised chain band. And basically that's a row of the straight stitches, but you're going to put them together, okay? We talked about straight stitches. And then you're also going to put chain through your straight stitches. It's kind of complicated, but it's worth knowing. But maybe you don't want to do that yet. So if you don't want to do that, you might decide you want to learn how to do a fly stitch first. And the fly stitch is really cool because it actually has an anchor in the middle of its loop. Another common stitch to learn is the knot stitch, the threaded back stitch, and even an open chain stitch, which is what it sounds like. Instead of the regular chain where it closes at the bottom, it stays wide. Again, you should be using a book to actually go follow along, or if you are online, you can also go online and find these stitches. taking the time to learn them is not only something that you might want to do just for your own fun, but it's good to help if you have problems with dexterity. Like maybe your hands are getting a little difficult, or you might be starting or completing occupational therapy. This can be helpful. But what if you want to get fancy? Maybe you want to make a flower, or you want to do some wheels or something cool. And you don't just want to make lines or things. I've got you covered. You can make something called a backstitch spider's web. It's really cool. You're basically going to find a circular area that you want to make this particular, you know, little picture, because you're making designs, but I think they're pictures in my head. But you're making your designs and you decide, I'm going to make it right here. So you're using a circle in your head. Or if you want, you can maybe put a little chalk down and make a little circle on your material. And then you're going to work backward from the outside toward the center of the circle. And you're going to make 8 of them. And those 8 straight stitches will make your spider's web. And then you can fill it in however you like. I know, it sounds a little fancy-smancy, and that's because it is. But it's worth knowing because, you know, you don't know what you might want to make. Once you get started, you're probably going to want to make all kinds of designs. And that's when you start to get into the little different extras like leaves, flowers, snowflakes, teardrops, whatever it is that you want to make. In addition to that, there's a couple of more stitches. I want to say one of the cutest ones is the feather stitch because I like the way that it looks. I like the way it looks like it's a fish scale almost. And then there's also chain stitches that can be by themselves. You don't have to have them right on top of each other. There is such a thing as a detached chain stitch. And there's more stitches than that. Those aren't the only ones, but give yourself time to learn them and I think you'll enjoy it. But one thing you want to keep in mind that no matter what you're sewing, it does matter what kind of needle you have, what kind of scissors you have, and what kind of thread or floss you're using, as well as the material, obviously. I mean, you have to know what you're sewing onto. But if you don't take care of your tools, then your tools won't take care of you. Also, if you can get a frame, that is absolutely the best way for you to hold your work in place. Sometimes you can't get the best frame. You have to work with what you have. So don't get uptight if you can't find the perfect thing. Usually at the dollar stores now, they actually have embroidery hoops, believe it or not. And you can use that. Now I'm not talking about full setups where you're going to do your crewel work, where you're sitting down and a whole section of your living room is roped off from children, dogs, and anything else that could possibly ruin it. No, you can just get yourself an inexpensive little hoop and go to town, and that frame will be just enough. Now, an actual frame is going to have rollers, and those are square and not round. So when I say hoops and frames, those are two very different tools. The frame is going to be finished. It's going to be nice. And again, a hoop, even though it's also a form of frame, is a lot easier to work with when you're beginning because you don't have to spend as much to get started, whereas the frame has a roller. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, what is it in my home that I can even look at that I could possibly, you know, reference that might be embroidered by hand in this day and age? Everything's done by machine. And that's because machines are there to make our lives easier. I have nothing against embroidery by machine. As a matter of fact, my god sister, she embroiders by machine. And she makes lovely things. But personally, I want to say that the first thing that would come to mind that you may have in your home that would probably have embroidery, or in someone else's home who might be older, is a quilt. they're usually using hand embroidery when they're quilting. Believe it or not, if you look closely enough, some quilts have very intricate embroidery on top of their patches. So maybe look around and see what's in your home that may be embroidered. Now that the pastime and the habit and the hobby and the tradition of embroidery, all of the ways that we refer to this art, because it is an art form, absolutely falls under cottagecore. But I want to point something out that is uniquely cottagecore that would involve this particular art, and that is embroidering on your clothing. One of the things I absolutely loved about one of my favorite movies was that the protagonist used to embroider everything. Now, she wasn't living in cottagecore. She was in a different era. She was doing Rococo, but that's how she was pronouncing it in the movie. But in actuality, it's Rococo. And that was the movie called Kamikaze Girls, which is something of a cult classic. We like our cult classics here. Very old movie, quality movie, girls empowered movie, women empowered movie, all about that. Thank you very much. But she was embroidering everything. It was absolutely beautiful. And her clothing had the ruffles that we like. And I would recommend maybe getting into that, checking it out. I personally believe that an embroidered frog and an embroidered mushroom on a fluffy skirt would be absolutely amazing. But that's just me. You know, I mean, personally, and of course it's personally between you and me, we always chat. I really feel that even though I have a great appreciation, we should really, really bring back the embroidery in our cottage core. But hey, that's just me. But we'll get back to that. We'll put a stitch in that. Get it? We'll put a stitch in that. You knew a mom joke was coming. It had to come. And there it was. Now, maybe that last mom joke didn't leave you in stitches. Come on, you knew it was coming. But I hope that learning about the different stitches might have been interesting. I like sharing things like that with my friends, and we're friends, right? And I know it was hard to envision all of these different stitches, and toward the end of the episode, really at the midpoint, I gave up trying to describe them, because without seeing them, it's very difficult for me to explain them. But I wanted to share them with you because I wanted you to get a chance to see how many different kinds of embroidery stitches there are, or at least get a thought about it, because I want you to have some fun learning about them. You know, it's not always about me or anyone else giving you absolutely everything in a snippet of time. Sometimes it's us leaving you a window you can decide to look through by greater research and practice, so you can see if you'll enjoy it or not. And that's what this episode was about today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you'll share your creations with me, and I hope you'll share some time with me again here on My Magical Cottagecore Life.